Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, December 17th, 2019. Great guest with us tonight, Chet Christner. Thanks for being here with SpeedShift TV.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me again.
Appreciate it. Hosting along with myself tonight, we have the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
What are you up to? Oh, I already know what you're up to.
Yes.
I know, me too.
Thanks for being here, Chet.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me again. It's not Christmas if I don't come here and visit with you guys.
Yeah, well, I know. We get a double dose of you. We had to put a replay on, so we put a replay of you from last year on last week. So, but if you're listening live tonight, it is live. So
yeah. He's here. Who don't want Chet 2 weeks in a row?
Exactly. Right?
Yeah, I can think of a lot of people. My ex-wife.
Okay, stop there. That's enough.
We won't get anybody in trouble. Of course, our fly on the wall, Matt Esposito. Thanks. Chet's like, what is this guy?
He's the only red flagged skid plate racer for the boys.
Yeah, you're that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, thanks guys for bringing the cold back with you.
Oh man,
at least we didn't bring the snow back with us.
Let me tell you, Indy kicked my butt. It got me. I got a little bit of a cold, so.
Oh, yeah, don't breathe on me.
I know, we'll keep it away from you guys.
But how was the White Castle?
It tastes like the White Castle here to me. I'm not a White Castle person, so I'm sorry.
It was good. I'll answer that question.
But their menu over there in White Castle is bigger than the one you see out here. We got all kinds of weird stuff on there.
They got...
you just order by numbers.
Breakfast stuff there, too, back there, not here. I haven't seen any here.
So what we're talking about back there is me and Gary went back to the PRI show, and of course you went to a PRI show too.
Yep.
And we missed you.
It's crazy.
All the thousands of people there, yeah.
I was talking to Gary about that before the show started, and I was walking around. I got to see Dallas and Houston Simonet from out here. Aaron McMorrin was with them. Vinny Rucci, I ran into him briefly, and I want to apologize to all them because I don't have time to talk to them a whole lot because we're on such a schedule with interviews and stuff. And then one of the nicest things that happened to me while I was back there was I was standing there talking at a booth, and Ryan Vargas came up, and he's like, "Do you remember me?" And I was like, "Holy smokes, you've grown up, haven't you?" But he headed for Xfinity Series this year.
So I think they see us, and they just, like, walk the other way. Yeah. They don't probably recognize me. They say, "Gary, like, hey, let's go that way."
They don't recognize you. Yeah. They recognize me and say, "Oh, I got to go that way."
I was wondering why we didn't see anybody. Uh-huh. No, of course, you got to go around and you're interviewing.
Yeah, we do every year. Last year, we did a lot of interviews with people. We did a lot of drivers and different things like that. And we felt that we were kind of getting away from the spirit of PRI because PRI is really about the products. And so this year, we tried to focus on products. And there were still a couple of people we ran into. We had a couple scheduled interviews. And then we just basically walked around and whoever was interesting or looked interesting and then if people ask us to come interview them, then we went and did a product thing with them, like Brin Transmissions and stuff like that. And it was cool because we got to look at more at the products, which is really what the PRI is all about.
Right. No, that's pretty cool. I at least was overwhelmed with the show. It was really amazing how they had that put together. You can tell they've been doing it for a long time.
Oh yeah.
You know, everything's put together real well. So I'm surprised we didn't see you,
Okay, so here's my story on that. Whenever we go from interview to interview, so you're thinking about what's coming up, what questions you're going to ask, different things like that. And I kind of go away in my head. And people that are around me know that. If there's a TV on, I'll lose focus. I won't hear you talk and stuff like that. So Nate and I were walking around, and he was doing run camera, and we were doing all these interviews, and we were walking down a hallway upstairs. And I was thinking about the next interview. I was in that zone or whatever. There's a guy coming towards us. And I noticed there was a guy coming towards us, and we just kind of walked past. As he went past, Nate said, "Hi, Tony." And I was like, Tony, and I turned around to look, and didn't even see Tony Stewart.
Oh,
but Tony Stewart was walking the other way. We were going this direction, and it didn't even register with me. It was just a body moving past. And I was like, ooh, that was kind of embarrassing. Probably should have said hi.
You're right. Exactly. That's kind of cool. And I didn't realize that the PRI show, there's a lot of different drivers
and from
all over. We saw a few different people there. It was pretty cool to, kind of see them there. I didn't realize they had that many. Like, I'll call them celebrities.
That's how SEMA used to be, like, 15 years ago.
Right.
It was very low-key, and you got to talk and meet people. And, there'd be drivers just walking around looking at stuff, and you bump into Mario Andretti, and he's like, excuse me.
And you almost feel bad, though. Like, you almost feel bad to stop them because you think, hey, they just want to be there to enjoy the show also, So I don't know. Does that come into play when you're doing interviews?
A little bit. Sometimes you'll see them hiding off to the side or just kind of, just walking around. Like Terry Phillips was out there walking around, and you could tell he was just just checking out new products and talking to his sponsors and stuff like that. And so I just nodded to him, said, hey, Terry, and move on with it. But I also think that it's the same attitude that you have, where a lot of people that visit PRI know that the drivers are there in a professional function. They're not out to see the public. They're out to talk to their sponsors and maybe get new sponsors, stuff like that. And so I think most people are very respectful about it, And
we've seen Richard Petty, but that was about 45 people deep.
Yeah. That's what some of them, they sign up. John Forrest pulls a crowd. Oh my goodness. People just flock to John Forrest too. And
same thing with Richard Petty. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't get, 50 feet from him. He was, we were walking by.
We didn't even try. We just say, hey, there's Richard Petty. And we just kept walking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And some of those guys are out there just to sign autographs and attract people to a certain booth or whatever. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cause obviously they all endorse products and things like that too. So is, your interviews and things like that, are they available?
They are. They're actually on our Facebook page, but the easiest place to find them is if you go to our YouTube page, just SpeedShift TV on YouTube. We put them all in a playlist, all our interviews from PRI. And there's some good ones. They're interesting too. And my favorite one we did, we stopped at the Apex Turbo booth, had a pulling tractor up there, and I love pulling tractors. And it was a beautiful tractor. And Brandon, he was actually picked up the championship this year in Super Stock, I think, or Pro Stocks, whatever I can't remember what the big class is for those guys. And so we stopped and did an interview with him and talked about the tractor and talked about Apex Turbo and stuff. And that was my favorite one we did. And that thing really took off on social media too. And they were very appreciative. And it was fun.
We stopped and looked at that one too.
Yeah, that thing was awesome. Oh. Okay, here, I'll blow your mind. In the interview, if you watch the interview, you'll find this out. That thing puts out 7,000 foot-pounds of torque.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
That's. I was like, Jesus Christ, you talk about rotating the earth, that'll...
that's some heavy-duty plowing there. That's pretty cool. Puts out more than most of the drag cars that were probably there.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow, that's a lot.
And we're talking about tractor pulls and things. You don't get to see a lot of that out here too often.
Yeah. No, it's more of a Midwest, East Coast thing. Yeah, definitely. There's some up in the Pacific Northwest, I believe. There's some pulling that's pretty heavy up in that area too, but not down here. We had it once. We had a four-wheel drive pull over at Pahrump? I think when I was announcing it, we did a four-wheel drive pull at Pahrump.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then it went to Vegas. It was at the Speedway. Almost positive.
I think it was.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. I never thought of that.
They had some in California a few years ago. We saw some of them, and a lot of these guys are going to that diesel stuff, man.
Oh yeah,
it used to be all that alcohol and six motors and all that other stuff, but a lot of these guys are going to stock looking. They were a lot of Dodges when I saw this one in California a few years ago. Let me tell you, man. They can blow that black smoke up through those 5.5-6-inch pipes coming out of the hood.
Yeah, they definitely crank the wick up on those things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to see a lot of that stuff. Do you guys get into a lot of the drag race stuff or just kind of the unique stuff?
Like our broadcasting, I'd love to do tractor pulling. I'd love to do drag racing, but we mainly are just oval track and then – but we are dabbling around. I say dabbling. We'll broadcast anything. We don't care, and that's like we do the ice oval racing up in Wisconsin, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's coming up. That's my favorite, favorite, favorite event
really?
That we ever do.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you all about that in a
yeah.
minute if you want to hear about it, because
oh,
it's pretty awesome.
Oh, well,
but the
why it's so awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, we do carts. We do late models, modified, sprint cars, midgets. We don't really care, but we haven't really drag racing kind of established itself. They do mostly free broadcasts that are sponsor paid for. And so the businesses are there. Bang Shift is probably one of the top ones, and they do a phenomenal job with drag racing. And then Pulling's kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a market there for us, even though the very first motorsports event I ever went to was a tractor pull. My dad took me to a tractor pull when I was just a little kid. It stuck with me ever since. I love that.
Tractor pulls are always cool.
Yeah. But yeah, the ice oval race, I got to tell you about this. It's in January, and it's a half-mile ice oval. They're building ice right now. They're making ice. It's a World Championship Derby Complex. It's purpose-built just for ice oval racing. Everybody's like, oh, how can you stand to be up there? Well, all the seats, they're called hot boxes, and you basically sit inside and look out through big glass windows and watch ice oval racing.
Oh.
But the sleds, they changed the championship class this year. But the champ sleds from before, I know that, and I'm ballparking here, about $65,000 purpose-built ice oval snowmobiles. And they get on those things, and it's like 100 and some mile per hour straightaway speed, and just throw that thing in the corner and hang on, basically. And it's absolutely insane, but it's so much fun. And there's it makes me feel bad, because the vintage weekend is the snowmobiles that we grew up with. But that's the first weekend, and then they have the World Championship weekend, which is 4 days racing.
So you get to see how they evolved from vintage,
and that's where everybody's like, oh, the vintage sleds really aren't that much slower than the championship sleds that they run now.
Probably just less safety things, maybe.
It's just a little different. Just a little different.
How big are the tracks? Are they half mile?
It's a half mile track.
It
has banking in the corners, but
you said they make ice, so they're out there like.
Yeah, it's really paperclip. It has big long straightaways and really tight corners that are banked. And then they have water trucks basically that go out there that are studded up, and they go out and drive around and just keep spraying water, and that's how they lay the ice down. And so
that's
they look
crazy.
Like they watch the temperature, and they have an additive that they put in the water that's the ice will look blue whenever we broadcast it. You'll be able to see it.
That's
the ice looks blue, and it's to UV blocker basically. It's to keep the ice from melting so fast. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's cool. It's totally different.
Technology and ice racing.
It's like. And when you walk through the pits on that deal too, it's more like walking around a Formula One race or an IndyCar race than it is like a dirt track or a late model race or something like that. It just has that feel because you get a lot of the Canadians come down. There's a lot of different languages being spoken. There's a guy from Sweden that comes over to the races. I know at least one. And it's neat.
Do they have the same thing in like our stock car racing, like different divisions?
There's everything from just the little stock sleds all the way up through.
They got the little kid sleds, the bandos.
Yeah, they actually,
no way, are you
kitty
serious?
Cats. Yeah, they,
oh,
the,
kitty
cats. Well, they have kitty cats, and there's little other ones too, but they used to be called kitty. But yeah, they run them on a little tinier oval. And the Wisconsin Kids Racing Association or something, WK something.
Huh.
But yeah, they run up there too. And
it's
cool. It's a cool deal. And okay, so get this. Here's your tie in to actual oval racing. The Hall of Fame is right next door. Dick Trickle's in their Hall of Fame.
No way.
He used to run snowmobiles up there.
Cool.
You have a hood.
I didn't know
one of his hoods and something else of his is in the Hall of Fame. And then like Nate Bickle that runs in the Xfinity series now, he comes up and races a sled.
Wow.
There's a lot of names that you would recognize
that
come
crazy.
Up. Yeah.
Wow.
And then they also run, they race motorcycles. And this year, Johnny Greaves, a name you know from off-road racing, him and CJ will be up there, and they're going to run a side-by-side with the 1,000 cc turbocharged side-by-sides. There's going to be like 30 of those guys or 40 of those guys racing on the ice too. That are, and they're built for racing on ice.
Oh,
they're
that
not,
is so
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
Oh. What? I mean, obviously they stud the tires and things. Or,
I guess I've never seen the motorcycles do. I haven't seen the side-by-sides on ice yet. That's kind of new series that's taken off, and it's a lot of the short course off-road racers are getting into that and running that. But yeah, it's
Gary,
it's
I see your eyes lighting up. I know what you want to do.
$5,000.
You gotta go race.
Yeah, but it's there's classes
you
know that we can afford.
Yeah, I'm getting the kitty cat car.
But if you have, but if I mean, if you're looking to make a trip, it's Eagle River. It's in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. It's frozen lakes. It's huge trees.
I've been to Eagle River.
It's absolutely gorgeous area. And then they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of groomed trails. You can go up Grand Snowmobile and ride around for the week and live in a cabin. And it's,
Gary, you can go.
Awesome.
Sounds like another week trip for us.
You can go ice fishing too.
There's a lot of that going on up there
too. I can imagine.
Yeah.
You stay up there.
Yeah, we go up. Actually, we kick off the year down Talladega Short Track, the Horn's Nest, right across from Super Speedway, with a late model race. That's the 2nd through the 5th. And then I'll fly from there directly to Eagle River, Wisconsin, to Green Bay, and then drive up. But I'll be up there for 2 weeks before I come back down here. And then we're off to Arizona for a bunch of racing. And then Texas for the Lone Star Stock Car Tours, a big 7 race series for IMCA stock cars, and that'll happen down in Texas February 15th to the 22nd. That's a cool event. And
how many events you think you're going to pack in this 2020 year?
Last year we did the number that sticks with me, and I'm almost positive we were over it, was 433 nights of racing.
No,
but like
that's
in
19?
That was this year. We still have, like, everybody thinks Christmas rolls around, we're done with racing, but we're not. We still have a bunch of sprint car racing with the World Series sprint cars from Australia. We still have a ton of stuff from New Zealand. They have the New Zealand, the International Midget Series races over there. Mm-hmm. They run a speed week, and a bunch of the guys from U.S. like Tyler Courtney and Chris Windham and Zach Dahm and I think Zeb Wise might be going around. I don't know. There's a bunch of those guys go over, and then they take on Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a championship for a country. So they're racing for the country in addition to racing it's a lot of cool stuff.
But you don't go there, do you?
I don't get to go there.
You don't get to go there? No. They don't let you go. You stay in the U.S.
Well, and it's one of those deals where, actually, I think Darren and Haley are heading over this year, but with us kicking off the year down Talladega Short Track, I would have to miss out on Talladega, and I love Talladega.
No kidding.
I do. So they're so nice down there, and the racing is
what's their short track program there? What do they have?
The Talladega?
Yeah, I always think Talladega. You think of this?
The Hornet's Nest has been around forever, and Red Farmer, does that name ring a bell for you guys? The original Alabama gang.
Oh, man.
They started NASCAR.
Oh.
And Red Farmer is one of them, and Red Farmer is 80. I think he's 87, might be older than that now, but he still races late model. He runs crate late now. He had to back off the super lates. He's in a crate late. But Red Farmer runs down there, but they run sportsman late models, which are 602 crates. They run the Durance Lane crate late series, which are 604 crates. Mm-hmm. And then they have super lates. And then there's usually like the Cajun mini stocks and some other stuff too. So there's 5-6 divisions that race there, and it's a 4-day. The first day is practice and then 3 days of racing at Talladega Short Track. And it's just, right now, when I say that, all I can think of is their potato salad is so good.
Well, that's funny because that's one of the things you want to know about it.
Their food is so good.
How's their food? What's their specialty? That's pretty
But
funny.
Yeah, but so if I would do a trip overseas, then I would have to, because I fly out January 1st. I head to Talladega, and then 2nd through the 5th is racing.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. What size is that track? Is that a?
I want to say it's a 3/8, but I could be wrong. Yeah,
roughly. Then,
it's rated there 3/8, something like that. And
man,
they call it the Ice Bowl. It's crazy too because it's cold and the track freezes every night. So whenever you get there in the morning, it's frozen. It's white.
Oh wow!
And what they do is they just let the sun hit it, get it melted, and then they go out and work the track in, and we're ready to go racing. But the people in the stands. You know, the cold temperature there, it might get down like in the 20s, 26, something like that at night, and then warm back up during the day. But the fans in the stands will set up duct blinds, and they'll put propane heaters in front of it, and then they'll sit in the duct blind with the propane heater blowing on and look out through the slits and watch the racing action, and they love it. And then, the thing about it is then you fly from there to Wisconsin to snowmobile racing. And last year when I left up there, it was like 12 degrees or something. And people were in snowmobile suits just standing out in the middle of the snow with a snow suit up. Just a 6-pack of beer, or whatever. Funny. Just stand there. It's like, we don't need no heaters.
Yep. That is crazy. Well, it's funny because you don't get to experience. I mean, you do. I mean, we don't get to experience the different, even from the fan standpoint, what they do to keep warm or cool or anything like that. That's pretty cool.
Totally different.
You're so unlucky.
I am.
I just can't imagine being able to see all these different tracks and just seeing the combinations of different things at every track.
And see that to bring us back to you guys, well, me too, is I, obviously I spent eight. I was with the Las Vegas Motor Speedway for 10 years, but eight of them went to Bullring. It's an asphalt track. And for a long time, asphalt racing we do is Anderson Speedway. We do a lot of stuff there with little 500. And I'm sure you guys have heard of that, the 500 lap sprint car race on the asphalt track there. And, but this year we were fortunate that we got to go to Auburndale Speedway down in Florida, an asphalt track down in Auburndale. Phenomenal racing. Oh my goodness. Excellent racing down there. And so we're starting to see more asphalt tracks. And I was super stoked about that because I feel like, and anybody follows me on social media knows that I get really the thing that trips my triggers whenever people bash another form of motorsports, because we're not a big group. There's not a lot of people into motorsports anymore. And that's Greg Burgess told me one time, he said, just drive through your neighborhood and look for toolboxes in the garages, and they're not there anymore.
That's a good point.
And, so I was really excited that we could get asphalt racing on Speed Shift, because I feel like dirt track people have a tendency to bash asphalt, and they just need to see good asphalt racing is all they need. And they'll be fans of it. And the same is true for the asphalt people, that if they get to see good dirt track racing, they'll cross over too. And we can all kind of get on the same page. Yeah. Everybody can be on the same soapbox together,
And it's funny, because you would think just racing is racing, especially with the experience like yourself, or, you know, what some of us experience both sides of it, you know, dirt and asphalt. It's a lot of the same, I mean, with a lot of differences too, but it's racing, you know, that's the key thing, like you're saying, and hate to see, you know, one group not appreciate the other group, you know.
Exactly.
So,
yep. And it's just different. It's like,
exactly.
You know, and same's true if you're into drag racing or whatever it may be. We're all into cars. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that pretty much all of us can appreciate just motorsports in general, you know? So.
Oh, yeah. You know, obviously, like going back to the PRI show, you see a lot of that combination. You got drag racing, you got circle track racing, both asphalt and, you know, the manufacturers and all that, the vendors there, just it's a mix of it all, and that's what it's about. It's about racing, you know, performance racing, and just like, you know, what the show's about. It's pretty cool. And going back to it, the performance racing industry show, it's our first time me and Gary got to go experience it.
What'd you think?
You know, it was amazing. There's a lot to take in. We went the first day, we actually were able to see them, a lot of people set up, and so we got kind of a sneak peek at, you know, different products and things like that.
You guys in there stealthing around? Did you just slip in through a door?
We just walked in. Nobody stopped us.
Actually, we walked over and got our badge holders, lanyards and stuff, and we looked at each other and said, let's go check this out. And we just
walked
through that
nobody
door.
Nobody stopped us.
I think it was the green room where we started first.
Yeah. Yep.
And we just kind of walked around. There was a couple aisles you couldn't get down because they had all their stuff, and, you know, they were all setting up. And we get quarter of the way down and say, oh, we're blocked. So we turn around and go around them and go the other way. And
staying out of their way.
Yeah. And then, like, the next day, I mean, it was like a world of difference, man. You can just walk up and down those aisles and see how they, you know, how their display was. You could see they were uncrating everything.
Okay, so here's the question. What was your favorite thing you saw at PRI?
Oh, man, you know.
Does it have to be one favorite thing?
You know, for me, which is weird, but because I don't think of myself into that kind of stuff, but the section with all the machinery.
Yeah,
you know,
all the CNC machines and stuff.
Machines, I mean, I just could spend all day probably in just that section watching that stuff do whatever it does, you know. It's that to me was the coolest portion of that.
Yeah, there was that section, and I regret not getting back to talk to him, but they were doing 3D printing. They were printing those pieces that was metal 3D. That was cool.
Awesome. That is so cool.
There was one there. Technology. They must have had four or five of those big machines going at once. You didn't even know which one to watch. They were, you know, those. One of them was milling heads and. I know it's just a machine, but to see how they use it and operate it, and, you know, all them buttons they got to push.
Yep.
And, you know, okay, I got to have one of those
Especially now, though, because you're not doing manual adjustment. Everything's done by laser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got cameras and lasers, and it's pinging the top.
Yeah, and And that's the thing.
Across is crazy.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think Mike asked the guy a question because we were looking in the little window door that they have there. We're looking, and I was like, man, I think Mike asked him a question about it, and he goes, I don't even work here. I work on the computer that operates.
He does the software end of it, but he's fine-tuning something for some threads. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, that section to me was, you know, kind of the most unique, and I could spend all day just watching, you know, the stuff they do.
One of my favorite things, did you guys see the engine building competition?
Yes,
we actually did.
And how cool was that?
What was the fastest, 21 or 23
23 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah. That was cool. We watched, of course, and then once they're done, they tear them back down and separate everything. It's kind of cool. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, we were walking by, and he said, what's going on in there? So we stuck our head in there, and he said, let's go watch that. So we walked away, and they had three teams doing it then. I don't understand
if it's like eliminations or
I'm not sure how it all works,
but yeah.
And then Saturday, we were walking around, and one of them guys was carrying a big, I mean, a huge trophy man, with the motor on top that we had seen.
Did they have to start them?
No.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, hey, they should.
They have guys that knew what the heck they're doing, sit there and watch every step of the way, and everything has to be torqued.
Before they could go to the next step, they'd have to show the torque wrench and everything.
Had to show it and tell them.
And it's all manual tools. There's no air tools. Yeah, there's no electric tools. There's not. It's all
by hand. And
but the best part about it, they all have to wear helmets because they hit heads all the time. two of them are leaning over.
Now that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was one thing that was really interesting to see him build a motor in 20 minutes or something like that. So.
Yeah,
I'd be eliminated on the piston rings. I'd be done. Stretch that thing on there.
The group that we watched, I think, was actually automotive school, like young students, so they probably just are fresh at that, but they're the ones that won that particular one, the one we watched.
Yeah, and they got to put everything, the spark plug wires on, and they have to be in firing order. They can't just put them on. They have to put them on in firing
order.
It's
legit when it's done.
I would assume they would run, obviously.
Carburetor, the air cleaner they had to put on it.
Yeah, I always like just swinging in just to watch that for a little bit, because I know how long it took me whenever I was. It's like weeks.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Weeks condensed down to 20 minutes a month. You guys make it a little too easy.
I got to get out my thing and be like, how many foot-pounds is that again?
Yeah, right.
What order is that?
Yeah, we're lucky now we can look it up on our phones.
Yeah.
One of the guys, or one of the teams, had a guy behind the toolbox, and he was giving them the next part. If the guy on the right came, he had that part. If the guy on the left came, he had that part. It was like that team that was winning or won had a guy given each one. And I thought that was pretty cool the way, he was, exhausted.
Keeping things moving.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, felt sorry for one of the teams. Like this other team looked like they were like bolting on the oil pan. This one was still putting on heads or something. Like, I don't think they're going to win, but good effort,
Yeah. At least they're there. And at least they're involved. And it was mostly, I think it is all kids that do that. But it's people that, again, are involved in motorsports. Yeah. And it's good to see kids involved in motorsports.
Exactly. And then bringing that up, there was a lot of young people there. I was surprised, how many. We actually were able to hit some of the educational classes and stuff like that. And there's one guy in there with his group of young cronies. It was early in the morning.
It was an 8 o'clock class. And
he had to drag him in there. I think he's like, come on guys, wake up. Don't be rude.
He laying in the chair, the kid laying in. Kid's probably 18, 20 maybe.
And you could tell the one that was in the Excel, he was the one that went and got coffee. He was all ready to go. He's like, okay, he had a notepad ready. The other four were like half asleep in the chair.
The guy walks in, and they all sit down, but of course they all sit behind him. They don't sit next to him or even next to him. They sit behind him. So he goes out and gets coffee or something out there in the middle, and he comes back and he kind of kicks the chair. He says, hey, get your head up like you're not hungover. Come on.
But yeah, it's good. It was good to see a lot of younger involvement. You know, it's pretty cool.
Well, like we talked about before, because a lot of the racing originated back east and then the Midwest, or in places where, you know, people owned farms, so kids were driving the tractors or whatever, zipping around on, you know, dirt bikes and four wheelers and all that on the farm at a young age, that there's more interest into the motorsports and modifying and trying to make the kookiest thing. So like you said, the sled racing in Wisconsin, you know, that started as someone's like, pond's frozen, let's go.
Yep, that's exactly. And they actually do, there's a series up there called the Pond Racing Series.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So here, you know, the West Coast was more, you know, California.
You guys making motorized
cars,
toilets.
No, the cars didn't run, so it was all show cars.
Right.
California's always been show cars. It's always been, you know, keep it nice, keep it fancy, how wax it, and, you know, nothing.
Because definitely California set the trend on a lot of that stuff. You see it spread from California.
Yeah, it's weird you don't see more like Sunday racing or Friday racing out on our West Coast area.
Oh, California is horrible for, they all want to run on Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
And a big part of it we've learned from the promoters out there is that, that traffic is so bad in California that on Friday you can't get people to the track.
Yeah, that's true.
And
it
takes what should be a, you know, 30-minute drive takes 4 hours. And
we
so
give them extra points for getting to the track.
Yeah.
Just in traffic.
Yeah.
Who can beat
but
the traffic?
No. Like every track in California seems like they want to race on Saturday.
Right. Yeah.
And then Sunday's tough because people got to go to work the next day. But there are some successful Sunday. Kokomo Speedway in Kokomo, Indiana runs Sunday.
Do you catch a lot of like oddball dates?
That's our
how
favorite.
You do 400 like Sunday.
The way we get to over 400 is we have multiple crews, and we'll have on any given night we can have as many as six simultaneous broadcasts from six different parts of the country or world or whatever. But as far as like a broadcast itself, the best days to view or for us to get a biggest audience is Monday through Thursday. Because on Friday and Saturday, everybody's doing it. If you're into racing, then you're at a racetrack. And so there's not as many people watch on Friday and Saturday. Everybody thinks that there's always this massive amount of people watch on Friday and Saturday. And if it's during race season, no. Because they're all at their track.
One of the classes we caught, I can't remember what the subject exactly was, but it was speed sport group. They do something similar, I guess.
Yeah.
They're talking about the new innovations and things like that they have to do. And they did talk about that, too. They're most views are between like Monday and I think it was Thursday.
Monday and Thursday. I forget where I was going to go with that.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Lost train of thought. That's what happens when you get old.
I'm sure a lot of his other teams watching, you know, going back and watching the race they were in.
Oh yeah. We actually, one of the coolest things that I think I tweeted about this too, but one of the coolest things or two coolest things that happened to me at PRI where I had two different drivers tell me that since they have been broadcast on SpeedShift TV, that they've started selling merchandise all over the world.
Oh,
and they're just people that they run well. Obviously, the two drivers, I'm not going to push a single mount or not. But anyhow, they run well, and they're entertaining to watch. They're entertaining on social media, too. And so they've started selling T-shirts basically all over the world. And the second thing was we did one of the interviews we did with Jake's Golf Carts out of Port Royal, Pennsylvania, and they build a very cool, it's only 4 foot wide cart for Mutt V is what they call it. It's a maintenance utility vehicle.
Okay.
And so it's pit carts. But it's only 4 feet wide, so it's for smaller trailers. So people like
fit them up
us.
Yeah, that's cool.
And but we did an interview with them, and he said it wasn't even 20 minutes after we did the interview on Facebook that they got a call from Arizona that somebody wanted to order one from Arizona.
Wow.
And that was so that's
Is that the pit cart that had the barbecue out in front?
No, this is a different one. Yeah. But a lot of people confuse the fact that like with SpeedShift TV, we broadcast racing and people think that we are a broadcast company, that's what we do, but it's not. We're a marketing company. We market. That's how I look at it. We're marketing the venue. We're marketing the event. We're marketing the drivers. We're marketing the series. That's what you're after. That's the big viewership numbers don't come from the broadcast itself. They come from the highlights and the social media after it. Our number one, every year this year, we do our top 20 countdown. Our number one video this year has over 3 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, and there's, you know, there's a, I'm, I don't want to ruin what the number one is because it's always this big thing, but but the person that's in the number one video, the sponsors on his car have over 3 million views for the sponsorship. Right. And that's something that, that's, wow, that's the value of what we do is for the, that.
Right. So it makes sense. It's not just broadcasting. It's,
right.
Obviously it's a package, you know.
Yeah.
With,
oh yeah.
With
the broadcast
package
is how we get the media, right, media that we distribute as marketing, basically, is what it comes down to. Yeah.
So let's say somebody that doesn't know what you do says, hey, what the heck is SpeedShift TV in a nutshell? What can you just explain to them? If it's a promoter of a track or a series or something that might want to know more about SpeedShift TV.
We broadcast racing. That's in a nutshell, that's exactly what
so
it
they
is.
So they call
it's
you
like,
up and say, hey,
yeah,
I want
so
to
like
showcase
Kenny,
my track.
Or, Kenny Dobson has Jacksonville Speedway in Jacksonville, Illinois. Phenomenal facility. Runs a lot of really great events down there. But I bring him up because I was just chatting with him online there before we started. But he runs a big race down there, and we go in and we broadcast it for him. Well, then we pay for broadcast rights. So the track gets money from us for broadcast rights or the series or whatever it may be. And then we broadcast that event for him. Well, then he has people outside his area that get to see his event. And if people like the racing there, then maybe they will come up or show up at his track to either race or watch and fill the stands. And so that's the marketing value for him. But people like Kenny are smart enough that they're catching on to this too, that if it's a broadcast or like Marshalltown Speedway or Port Royal Speedway, right, that we do weekly, there's advertising at the track that they sell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, if it's at the flag stand, it should cost a little bit more because guess what? The flag stand is on camera a lot.
Right.
And well, so that because sense. That's as they come across the checker, we have a tendency to lock on the mm-hmm. flag stand. So you're sitting on the flag stand, and if it's Reliable Banner, who's
right.
a big sponsor of the show, if it's Reliable Banner on the flag stand, then they get a lot of screen time right. and they get, you know, with not just that area, but globally. And if they're in a highlight, it could have 3 million views.
Right.
Well, guess what? You know, if Casey's General Stores or whoever, that's huge. That's what we do is we broadcast racing. We get people to get to see racing from all over the place. They get to see drivers from all over the place. And I've said that a million times, you know, you watch a certain series or whatever, and they're like, these are the best drivers in the world. Well, guess what? The four cylinders got some pretty freaking good drivers right. too. And you need to watch that, and maybe they'll catch on to it a little bit, and they'll see Grayson Pratt, you know, who runs out of Minnesota and came out and just absolutely tore up the racing world.
Do you guys edit? You know, I obviously do editing and things like that before mm-hmm. you.
No, we
is
do
it
live.
All live.
We're live.
Do you edit any kind of after?
Yeah,
know,
that's what we push
I
out.
Guess?
Yeah, after everything we broadcast goes into on demand, so you can go back and watch everything in the on demand. But after a race is over, we will pick. You can't do every division at races,
right.
but you try to pick out your best races, and then it gets edited down
but
into
it's not
a
always
highlight.
The feature
no.
of that track. It's whatever the best.
Well, it could. We usually try to do feature highlights,
okay.
but if there's something cool that happens, like in a heat race or something, we do those on the fly. We literally, within less than a minute, we can have out a brief highlight, and a lot of that we do on Twitter. So if people follow SpeedShift TV on Twitter, then we constantly, while the racing's going on, we'll put out a little blurb, a little bit of a highlight.
So if I want to be more involved with SpeedShift TV, Twitter is probably the way to go to kind of keep more involved.
We're on everything. It all depends on what you're looking for.
Just okay.
like before the race is going on, if you want pictures from the pits and stuff like that, that's generally goes to Instagram. Facebook will do a live look-in from the broadcast. And then plus that's where we advertise everything's coming up because Facebook is, that's the big boy of the bunch.
Right.
And then Twitter is more on race night, just brief little quick updates and highlights
live
and stuff
updates
like,
and things
yeah.
like that. Okay.
Yep. And then we're also on Snapchat, but I have no idea what's on there. I don't
know. Yeah,
I follow us, but I don't.
Something like
they
talked about too, like the younger people that they are all into Snapchat and some other one too. I didn't even heard of. So
yeah.
it makes me feel
that
old.
Are just like 10-second pictures of push rods
yeah.
and stuff.
do you guys,
and you mean that in a good Christian way,
right,
I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. do you guys do in-car videos or anything like
we
that?
We do. John Horn that works with us down in Florida, Dirt Dauber Videos, his little company, but he works with us a lot. And I hope I get to see him at Talladega too. But he does some really cool in car stuff.
Okay.
And then we'll have that on SpeedShift TV.
Yeah.
You know, he'll provide that to us.
Between,
stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not at every track. Just
no,
to,
it all depends
select,
on the
yeah.
event. It depends on who's working, what our crew looks like. Because our crews vary. It could be. You know, it could be a crew of one. We call them one-man jamboroos, which like Marshalltown, for the weekly racing, we broadcast air weekly. We will be broadcasting air weekly in 2020, but that's generally just one person that shows up and kind of produces and runs the camera both. But then if, like, whenever we go to Talladega, we'll have a 4-man crew at Talladega. We'll have a 6-man crew at Eagle River for the World Championship snowmobile
race. Here's your chance to get on, Mike. You can go be part of the crew and see all these different tracks.
You run a camera.
No,
thank you.
You want to announce?
No. Nothing's tough, man. That's a tough business. Dude.
You've announced a little bit before.
Yeah, I did. It's tough. Yeah, I'm not good at it. So, but, you know, hey, I don't mind trying different things, but is that something you ever get a chance to do, like get behind the camera? Or
I do. Actually, this year we grew so much this year that I ended up, I produced more shows than announced on. Yeah. So
do you like
coming
doing
here,
that?
I enjoy it. It's not, I'm an announcer.
Yeah.
You know,
you
that's
like
what I really,
actually
well, actually, no, I'm
the,
never in front of the camera.
Oh.
No, I'm just a voice.
Oh, just
I'm
a voice
away,
behind the camera.
Look
okay.
at me. I have a Facebook for radio. But,
hey,
yeah, I don't
heard that somewhere.
I don't mind producing. I run camera every now and then too, and sometimes I'll do a 1-man jamboree myself. But this year I produced more than I announced and kind of got away from it a little bit. But this coming year it'll be almost all announcing again, some production, but almost all announcing because we're kind of geared back up. We hired some more people, and so
that's
my
cool.
preference.
Any new? I don't know, tracks or areas that you guys are going to focus on this year that you didn't last year?
It all depends on how the schedule kind of plays out for us. A lot of it, like at PRI, you get some of the schedules out, but some of the big ones that we're still waiting on have not been released yet. And so we're really hesitant to fill in the gaps.
Sure.
We always try to fill in. We don't take a lot of time off.
Right.
But there's a lot of returning favorites of mine. Like we do the Wild West Modified Shootout Speed Week and Finish Line Graphics. We work with them up there. They're from up Scappoose, Oregon. And they sponsor the broadcast that we do up through there. So I get to go hang out with them. But the Wild West Modified Shootout Speed Week is an IMCA Modified Speed Week. And it visits one of the most, or if not the most beautiful area of the country. And some of the greatest racetracks, Cottage Grove, Heather and the gang up Cottage Grove and Willamette Speedway and Coos Bay, and just some really neat tracks up there. And that's in June. So we'll be back for that.
That's
like I said, the Lone Star Stock Car Tour coming up and down in Texas. We're going to Texas Motor Speedway with that this first year, the Dirty 30.
Wow.
And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's all part of that deal. So I've never been to Texas Motor Speedway before. So that's a new track for me. But I think this year, it was a really rainy spring, and I had, I think, 28 rainouts on my schedule that the races I was involved with. And so that I lost a lot of new tracks on that, but I think I've been to 197 tracks now.
Wow.
And I could have broke 200 this year, but
damn
Mother Nature.
Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, but
maybe this year.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as new areas, I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I'd really like to get up to the Northeast. We don't do a lot of stuff. We go to New York, but I've never been up Massachusetts, Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah.
What about, obviously 200 tracks. You must have seen some crazy type of racing besides the ice racing, but stock cars. What kind of sticks out the most?
For crazy?
Yeah, crazy.
My favorite, absolute favorite that we don't see over here, and I look forward to it every year, is we broadcast sidecar motorcycle racing from New Zealand.
Oh.
And it is absolutely killer.
And that's with the
sidecar, two guys. They call the guy in the back a swinger because he swings from around on the thing to keep it stable. But we put out, in our countdown, I believe we had one inside the countdown. It was an honorable mention of the sidecars. Actually, it was an honorable mention. It was the very first day of the countdown. Check it out. That's really cool. And then we do every year Cedar Lake Speedway up in Wisconsin. They do a bus race. And bus race is insane, absolutely insane. And that one's in the countdown too. But yeah, that's the craziest type of racing.
No double decker?
No double deckers, no. But they put one in the pond. They put one in the pond. They rolled a couple of them over.
Wow.
There was a couple guys taking shortcuts through the infield that I still say was cheating, but whatever. It's a bus race. You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, where are the rules really? Where are the gray areas?
Yeah, they do. That's a cool track up there too. That's a neat place.
That's different. Yeah.
Sounds like you can put it in the pond, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
We need some bus racing here.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's
we had tractor trailers out the bull ring. You remember that?
Yep.
They had tractor trailers. They were loaded with livestock.
Yep.
And they had like sheep or goats or something in it.
And a 48 footer trailer.
Yeah, they went four wide.
Okay.
Four wide at the Bullring. It was supposed to be, the whole story behind that is Chris Bozen was there with 6B. He makes the shirts and stuff now, but Chris Bozen's went lined it up. He basically just went to the truck stop and said, hey, we want to do a little thing, kill some time. And he talked some guys into coming over. Well, they were livestock haulers.
No kidding.
And the deal was, he told him, he said, we'll put you out on the track. We're going to throw the green flag, but just drive around the track a little bit, you know,
sure.
And we'll have fun
yeah.
with it. And, you know, if we'll just run like five laps. Well, they came out on the track. They were double foul and they threw the green flag and they started running through the gears. And right. Yeah.
Wow.
They might not have been four. I think they were three wide. I know they were three wide for sure, but they might have been four wide.
They
but,
all
yeah,
lost
they,
their minds when they seen that green
oh,
flag.
Oh, yeah. They had to throw the checker and throw the caution on everything else, try to get them slowed down because Chris Blair was there at the time.
Yeah.
He's like, this is going to be not a lawsuit, but like
right.
an insurance claim. It's going to be an insurance claim.
Yeah,
it
shut
was
them
awesome.
Off. That checker, yeah. That is
same thing when they had the tow trucks out there too. They
no
had
kidding.
The tow truck races.
Oh, I don't
were you there for that?
No, I missed
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, there was I don't know 8 or 10 tow trucks out there. Just the tow trucks you see on the street, man. They all went out there racing.
Yeah.
Do they still do the boat race?
Yes.
Do they?
They change it to
yeah.
the trailer.
Figure eight.
The trailer.
Oh
figure
what?
Figure eight.
Really?
Yeah. Those last couple of years now.
Yeah.
Sure. Really
that was always fun.
Yeah, I thought the boat race was always
a good time.
Cool. Fiberglass everywhere. And,
yeah.
yeah,
it was definitely the last event of the night.
Yep. Oh, wow. So if somebody wanted to check out these different videos, you said they're in all different areas. What's
yeah.
the best way to start? SpeedShiftTV.com?
Follow us
or?
On Facebook. And then if you follow on Facebook, because we constantly put out new stuff, And follow on Facebook and then our YouTube channel, which is SpeedShiftTV on YouTube. Everything eventually ends up there as far as highlights. But Facebook... That's the
yeah.
one. Follow along.
So you become a member or how does that
yeah,
work?
That,
do you
we
just
switched
hold...
this year.
Okay.
It used to be a pay-per-view
okay.
For every event. You just bought a pass to watch that event. But we went to a VIP pass is what we call it. You can still do a single day event if
okay.
you just want to watch one race.
But you can get an annual. Is that a year?
It's actually monthly. It's 40
oh,
bucks
okay.
a month.
Oh,
and
okay.
which
you watch
there's,
anything?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then it gives you all the access to the on-demand too. And the on-demand isn't the highlights. The on-demand is the complete show as it was
okay.
streamed.
Okay.
And so a lot of times guys that, and there's a lot of drivers that buy just an on-demand pass to go back and watch themselves race
mm-hmm.
to basically coach themselves, I guess is what you say it. But yeah. So if, you know, maybe your heat race didn't make a highlight, well, you can still watch your heat race in the on-demand.
Okay.
So it's all still there.
That's
speedshifttv.com.
Okay.
And that's the, yeah, 40 bucks a month. And whenever we first started, we weren't sure because we announced it. It's pretty funny. We announced at the beginning of the year, we're going to start this VIP subscription. We guarantee you'll get at least four races a month. And because we were like, surely we can get four tracks because we wanted the tracks in the series
sure.
to be on board with this. And we're like, surely we can get four races a month. You know, it's only 10 bucks a race if we do that. Shoot. We do like four races a night. It
wow.
ends up being like 30 or
that's
40
cool.
races a month that are on the VIP pass. It's like $1 a race if you watch them.
Wow.
And, yeah.
No, that's pretty cool. That to me sounds, you know, more intriguing, you know, but obviously it's good to still have that option to watch.
And it's nice. And it worked out well too, because, you know, you got people that maybe buy the VIP pass because they want to watch modifieds. They love modifieds. And you have another guy that bought the VIP pass because he wants to watch stock cars. Well, guess what? Now the stock car guy's watching some modified racing,
right.
modified guy's watching some stock car racing. They're all watching some asphalt racing or carts. We have some big karting events coming up, the Battle to Barn, and we're doing one up in Minnesota here pretty soon too that has a lot of big names in it. And so it's good. It's creating a community of motorsports people as opposed to one particular.
Are you seeing any, like, let's say karting or anybody in, you know, races like that move into different areas that you see them now into stock car racing?
Oh yeah.
Late model racing or something
yep.
like that or modified.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of you know, kids. I think I still think of them as kids because
yeah.
I'm getting to be that age now where everybody's a kid. But, you know, moving up, we get to watch them rank up, I guess is what you want to call it, where they move up through divisions and different things. And yeah, there's some good names out there to watch. Buddy Kofoid's one to watch. Basically what, you know, you knew Kyle Larson first, and then Christopher Bell came along, and Christopher Bell's kind of like the challenger to Kyle Larson. Well, Buddy
right.
Kofoid's the one coming.
Oh,
him or Giovanni Selzy is good too. But yeah.
Cool.
But then you also have Noah Gregson.
Yeah.
Noah Gregson. We watched Noah race out the Bullring and
yeah.
was a very, very good legend racer and then moved up in the late models and stuff. And now, lo
wow.
and behold, there he is, NASCAR.
Right.
and he's still the same guy.
Same thing with that Herbs kid.
Yeah, Riley Herbs. Riley Herbs.
He started out here.
Cole Custer. Cole Custer's got a couple of Truck Series wins, and he's moved into, I think he's in Xfinity now. And we watched him race out here. And we've had, I think about that too with there's been a lot of talent at the bull ring.
Yeah, there has been.
Everybody focuses on the Busch brothers, which obviously they're very good, very talented racers, but there's been a lot of other. A lot of good.
But because we don't have Speed Shift TV out at the bull ring.
Right.
It makes it tough. Yeah, nobody gets to see it. Nobody knows who they are until they show up, and then they're like, "Who the heck is Noah Gragson?" And
that's exactly
Ryan Vargas.
No, that's good. I mean, I like what you guys are doing. I mean, that's a great concept, great things. You know, to be able to go watch these different races anywhere across the United States, obviously.
Thank you.
Are there more tracks that you do, or do you guys do specials like series events also? Any big races that are coming up?
Yeah, we do a lot of special events, a lot of speed weeks and stuff like that, and some series. But there's getting to be more and more tracks. There's tracks out there that have really good, consistent racing.
I think you're starting to understand they need your services, basically, your marketing.
We do Port Royal Speedway, Lincoln Speedway in Abbottstown, Pennsylvania, which has great food. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my top five tracks. And
for
a lot
food?
Of it.
No.
Is, yeah, well, actually.
And
it
also
is,
for the food.
Yeah, they have really good racing there, but also the setting and their food and their seating, and they have a big screen. It's just a nice place. But we do them weekly. We do Marshalltown weekly. And if it's a good track, you know, the weekly racing is fun to watch, and that's why they get a lot of fans in the stands, you know. And
bringing that up, do you think good concessions help make
without a
good track?
Without a doubt. And concession prices, too.
Really?
You can't.
How about like alcohol or non-alcoholic tracks? Does it really make a difference?
I don't think that really makes a difference. But the food, you have to have good food.
Really?
Yeah. 141 Speedway in Francis Creek, Wisconsin. There are people, and I know this because I worked up there for a year, but they're still doing the same thing because it works. There are people that show up sometimes three hours before the race starts just to eat at that track.
Wow.
That track, that the food, it's they have a steak sandwich that's absolutely incredible, and it's made to order.
No kidding.
You can get it how you want
it. That's track food, huh?
Yeah, that's track food. Yeah, it's just...
Is that not the high school marching band?
the dollar hot dogs, right? No.
That doesn't hurt either, though. Dollar hot dogs doesn't hurt.
No, you got to have something that...
I just had a little bit of a conversation like that on social media today with Pete Pistone that does the NASCAR, and he was talking about, what's just about NASCAR and stuff like that, and that's one of the things that he said. NASCAR has the cheapest ticket prices of any pro sport, but I said you have to factor in concession prices.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that, like Las Vegas Motor Speedway or wherever you go to watch it, they don't control the concession prices for that event. That's controlled through the contract to provide the concessions. And that's, I feel like that's killing attendance more than anything.
You know, that's
$5 for a bottle of water. Get out of town. That's stupid.
Exactly. You don't need to make that much of a markup on water.
No, it's
you
ridiculous.
You need to buy a case for every time you sell a water.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you see across the board, like ticket prices, entry, you know, into these tracks? Are they pretty close to the same all across the United States?
Yeah, usually like a general admission to a dirt track, unless it's a special event, is usually around, I'd say probably the national average is $12.
Okay.
Something like that a person.
Roughly
which isn't terrible. One of the things that's starting to happen in the Midwest that they never had before was, and we've been used to it out here for years, is you pay an entry fee to race. You know, you're used to going to and you pay your entry fee, you pay your pit pass, and away you go. And there was a lot of tracks that never had entry fees.
I didn't know that.
And that's starting to catch on a little bit too. And part of it is just there's not as many fans out there anymore. And that's just a fact. And it has nothing to do with NASCAR. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just that there just aren't as many people into motorsports these days as there were in the 50s. And so that's one of the ways that they're, I think, trying to keep the tracks open.
Well, you know what? It opens up the doors to be able to keep the track going, but also it puts it back in, let's say, media hands to be able to not be at the track, but you still can watch that on demand. Or
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a common misconception, and we still fight this with the older fans. Think that if you broadcast a race, that people won't go, and that's not how it works. I've probably talked about this on the show before. We did a marketing study, and we found out that if people are within an hour and a half, 2 hour radius of a track, and are watching the show and they're not attending, it's because they're either at work, they have to go to work, or they just got home from work. It's something to do with work. That's like 92% of them. Some of them have health issues. Some of them, if they live 2 hours away, they see there's a chance of rain, they may not go.
Right.
You know, or something like that. But race fans are race fans. You want to be at the track.
Yeah.
I know that if it's a special event and it's within driving distance for me, crepes, me and Jerry, you remember Jerry? He used to come out track with me and still, me and Jerry are still big buds, but we used to drive four and a half hours out to Bakersfield Speedway to watch a race and then drive back at night.
Back,
and it was a weekly race. It wasn't even special, but the racing's good. And we were like, let's go to Bakersfield.
Yeah,
we go to Bakersfield. We go to Havasu. We drive down to Havasu. Yep. We go wherever. And
No, I've done that too. And, you know, I think if anything, it actually helps the local tracks to have a service like you said, it's not the other way around. You don't hinder
it shows,
you actually.
Well, and it's, we go back to Kenny Dobson down at Jacksonville. He does on his weekly racing, he puts it out on YouTube for free. You can watch for free. And his stands are packed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because people get to see how awesome the racing is.
Yeah, they
want to
see it live.
Yeah, and they're like, we're going. We're going. Marshalltown gets it every week. Toby tells me that, you know, every week there's somebody comes up to him and says, hey, we're from New York and we've been trying to get to this track for a while because we see it all over social media. And here we are. So,
sorry about that.
It's all right.
Oh,
I'm glad
man.
You coughed that direction.
I know. Exactly. I'm keeping away from you guys. Indy got me, so. Man. Excuse me. No, you know, that's something I think, you know, we don't see a lot of out here that are like services like you guys provide. It seems more of an East Coast thing.
That's one thing that I'll suggest to tracks, and if anybody's watching this does have a track and you don't have a broadcast, or maybe you feel like you're not broadcast worthy or whatever, get a kid with a camera, put him up there on a tripod and have him record the races and put out a highlight. That'll help you more than anything. That is just highlight your racing. If it's good racing, you got to show people what you got, and that's what's going to attract new fans. And the way you do it, social media is free.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the best marketing out there. People, I hate to say this, people don't read the newspaper anymore.
Right.
Most people don't listen to radio. They listen to satellite radio, if they listen to radio, or their MP3 player or whatever, MP3 player. Listen, you know what I mean? Listen to streaming music.
MP3.
I just dated myself.
I've seen evidence of that.
Yeah.
We started a skid plate page, and it was, you know, a couple fans. When we started posting in-car videos.
Yep.
So there was like four or five of us that were posting our in-car videos. So then you were watching the race from five different views.
Uh-huh.
So then you would see the views be consistent over all the videos because everyone would watch the different angles.
And you just got to market it. So get a camera guy. Get stuff out there. Boring. They need to hire a guy. I mean, there's a college right here that has broadcast.
Right.
Get somebody out there and
record
it.
Talk about that. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, remember back in the day, they used to have a guy out there doing videos. He'd do them on VHS when I was doing mini stocks out
Danger
there.
Danger Dan and Camera Doom.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and you could just buy it, or you know, he wouldn't showcase anybody in particular, but if you could get that race, you know, that you raced in, is always cool to get.
Yeah.
So
just to see it, but yeah.
You guys rely on like sponsors and things, or you guys just deal with the tracks?
We just deal with the tracks and the series.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all customized.
Yeah, we sell advertising, but we're not salesmen. We're not very good at that, and we have hardly any advertising that we sell.
But when you sell, is that for like your on-demand stuff?
It's actually, you can be on a live broadcast.
Oh,
so we do on live broadcast on our webpage, and we have the full, just like TV advertising. If you want to advertise on SpeedShift TV, and they can just, if you're interested in it, you can email me, chet@speedshifttv.com, and get you hooked up. But
get it to the
we're horrible salesmen. We're just race fans. That's a whole,
you know,
SpeedShift is just a bunch of race fans that just figured out a way that we can go to a lot of races.
Right. That's cool, man. Anything real quick you want to say? We got 90 seconds left.
Yeah, follow us on SpeedShift TV on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Yeah.
And of course, we always have a good time when you're here, Chet.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to that every year.
It's not Christmas without coming here. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, you know what? We look forward to it every year. So thanks for joining us and being with us. And we'll keep following SpeedShift TV. And become members, right?
Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
I already follow you on Facebook.
Well, good deal.
Happy holidays. Thank you again for being here.
Thank
you. We missed you at PRI, but
we'll
catch you.
We missed a lot of people at PRI. Yeah. There's a lot of people there.
Exactly. See, I was going to take you to lunch.
Well, next year I'll make sure if I can.
That's right. There you go. We'll see you live here next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at allwheelsnow.com. Thanks again, Chet, for being here at speedshiptv.com.
Thanks for coming in, Chet.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.